This is Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
On today's show, we're going to do some geography, sports, history, and inventions.
Oh, yeah. Plus, we'll open up the mailbag and news from around the world.
Totally useless information. It's everything you never needed to know.
Innovations. Ideas. The Totally Useless Information Podcast presents Inventions.
You have an iPhone, don't you?
It's my phone, not iPhone.
iPhone, yes, it's you phone. Me phone. Me phone you on Zoom. Who phone? Who phone me?
Italian iPhone. Ufone.
Ufone. For those gavones, it's Ufone. So if now you're down in Florida and it gets really hot, so don't you wish you had an invention that'll keep you cool while you're on your phone?
Yeah, sure.
Well, guess what? There's actually an iPhone fan. This is a fan that's capable of plugging into your Apple iPhone. The gadget is tiny and a little bit crazy, but, you know, how else are you going to, like, browse your device and keep cool at the same time? So if you're hot and bothered, which is most of us, use the iPhone fan.
Not to plug Target, but I think I saw it at Target.
So okay, there you go. Available at Target.
Alexander Fleming, the father of penicillin, was a pig. Yeah. His lab was always a mess. He was disgusting. They said this guy was the biggest pig when it came to his laboratory. He left one time and went on vacation. When he returned, he noticed that the bacteria had grown all over his dirty Petri dishes, which he never cleaned. Except for one thing. The bacteria did not grow where the mold was that he didn't clean off. And so he realized that the mold could protect against bacteria, and thus he invented penicillin.
Wow, that's pretty cool. That's awesome. what was his name again?
His name was Alexander the Pig Fleming.
Fleming. So he always had to clear his throat.
Fleming.
So how about an intelligent umbrella? There's a smart umbrella that lets you know when it's raining. Sounds pretty pointless. Because if you have an umbrella, chances are it's raining, isn't it? Like if you're using it.
So unless you just like it or you're English.
Yeah, cheerio. So it notifies you if it's going to rain, which is kind of cool. The umbrella also has the ability to share data with other smart umbrellas for cloud searching data to ensure that it is actually accurate.
Constantine Fallberg and Ira Remsen were studying coal tar derivatives. They were working with coal tar. They took a dinner break. They said, God, we're very tired from working with all this coal tar. Uh-huh. So let's go take a dinner break. Well, they did. And they noticed that they were eating and the meal tasted awfully sweet. It wasn't until they noticed that the dust on their hands from the coal tar derivative that they were working with was making their food very sweet. Oh. And they said, let's patent this right away. And they called it saccharin.
Wow, that's amazing.
Now, then you wonder why saccharin was taken off the market as a carcinogenic cancer-causing product when it was a derivative of coal tar.
That would do it.
I'll take a Big Mac, French fries, and a quart of petroleum on top of it. Thank you.
Yes, it goes down a lot smoother. It slides down easier. Hey, do you steam clean your garbage cans?
No, I don't even clean my garbage cans because garbage goes in them.
Okay, when was the last time you wrapped your wet kitchen? This is going to sound awesome. When was the last time you wrapped your wet kitchen scraps in newspaper before you took them out to the curb?
I say to my wife, you cooked it, you take it out.
Gee, I've heard that before. I wonder where. Thanks to three Canadians, they invented the sturdy household garbage bag. In the 1950s, Frank Plump, Harry Weslick, and Larry Hansen all seem to have created their own version of the garbage bag, a very flexible plastic polyethylene.
Can you imagine if they used all three of their names? It would be the Wesson Hassan Plunkin.
Right. But instead, Union Carbide, the big company, later marketed the bags under the Glad brand, Glad garbage bags. But thanks to three Canadians, a new, tough, flexible plastic called polyethylene. I knew a girl that like that once. Her name was polyethylene.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. She got around.
She was slightly overweight. She got around.
No, she was hefty. She was hefty. Hefty garbage bag.
Not that there's anything wrong with that. That seems to be like our disclaimer for everything.
Yeah. Not that there's anything wrong with it. There's a lot wrong with us. I'm totally useless information with Nick and Roy.
Yeah. And go to nickandroy.com if you want to leave us an email, which we'll get to later on in the show. But nickandroy.com, you can listen to all the old shows with this 70 something.
Yeah.
It's crazy. 57 countries now in the world.
And counting.
Unbelievable. Thomas Adams, the famous Adams man.
Was he from the Adams family?
Yeah. Da-da-da-da. Okay. Thomas Adams, not to be mistaken with Gomez Adams, was working with sap from the chicle tree.
Oh.
He was doing some work with the sap, trying to figure out if he could get a better plastic out of it or use it for that function. And he decided to put a piece in his mouth and began to chew it and realized, gee, this is fun. And he kept chewing it and realized that if he put a flavor to it, it'd be even better. And he invented the Adams Chewing Gum Company, the first chewing gum on the market. And so you have Chiclets, Adams Chiclet from the chicle tree.
That is amazing. That's pretty good. He was a great masticator.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He loved to masticate all by himself.
Well, what a great segue this is. I call this one playing with yourself. In order for this next invention, in order for this to work, you need to hope for a good hand.
Mm-hmm.
Klondike is the most played solitaire variation. The card game rose to fame in the late 19th centuries and is named after a region of the Yukon Territory in northwest Canada, famous for the Klondike Gold Rush between 1896 and 1899. No, it wasn't the Klondike ice cream bar. What would you do for a Klondike bar? Between 1896 and 1899. And so the Klondike version of Solitaire is the most played version of Solitaire. And thanks to Microsoft, when they came up with Windows, Solitaire was one of the most popular games on the computer.
Well, you want to hear something silly?
Sure. Why start now?
James Wright was working for General Electric.
Right.
And his task was to find a cheap alternative to rubber for tank treads for the military. So he mixed some silicone and boric acid together, and he decided, that's a failure. That doesn't do really anything. Except he starts stretching it and playing with it. And just like the chiclet guy, he said, this is pretty fun. He said, that's silly, though. And it is. Silly putty.
Silly putty. Look out. Oh, that's amazing. Right on. What was that, Stretch Armstrong? Remember that toy as a kid? Stretch Armstrong.
Yeah, speaking of Stretch Armstrong, playing with yourself.
Okay. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy.
Tablet today is history. What happens tomorrow is history. Yeah.
In 1937... a major fire broke out at the Fox Film Studios in New Jersey. Flammable nitrate film that had previously contributed to several fires in the film industry. In Little Ferry, gases produced by decaying film combined with high temperatures and inadequate ventilation, they believe, resulted in spontaneous combustion.
That's what happens in my bathroom just about every night. But go on.
Spontaneous combustion. The fire, unfortunately, destroyed 75% of their movies, including most of their silent films.
What? No, go ahead.
No, I don't think I've heard this before. Including most of the silent films. Well, could you imagine? So these were hot movies. Literally, they were hot movies. 75% of their movies were destroyed in the fire.
You said this was Fox Studios?
Fox Film Studios in Little Ferry, New Jersey.
During World War II, a Great Dane named Juliana was awarded the Blue Cross Medal for extinguishing an incendiary device. An incendiary device, of course, is a bomb.
Right.
Yes, Juliana ran over to the incendiary device and peed on it, disabling the device and saving hundreds in the troops.
You know, they could have used her in New Jersey in 1937.
When they gave her the award, they said, "This is to a real pisser." When the news leaked out, no.
Yes, it did. Wow.
She also stars in a book. The book was called Yellow River by I.P. Daily.
Welcome once again to the fourth grade. He trained astronauts and founded a new science. Eugene Shoemaker was one of the 20th century's great minds. His work impacted craters, affected everything from NASA's Apollo missions to the dinosaur extinction debate. For his contributions to human knowledge, he was awarded the National Medal of Science by then President George H.W. Bush in 1992.
He had nothing better to do.
No, he didn't. A different honor eluded him, though. Shoemaker studied the moon from afar, but he often dreamed of climbing into a spacesuit and walking on its surface. Sadly, he never got to do that. Addison's disease crushed his hopes of becoming an astronaut. In 1997, some of his ashes, after he passed away, were laid to rest near the moon's southern pole. That made him the first and so far the only person to ever receive a lunar burial.
How cool.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah. Great tribute.
And very nice. Yes.
Yeah.
So, like, and I'm sure that when they did that, they had a recording of Jackie Gleason going, "To the moon!"
Nick and Roy will continue with Totally Useless Information. Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy continues. Listen, laugh, and learn.
It is believed now that Alexander the Great was buried alive, which would make him Alexander the Unlucky. He had a disease called Guillain-Barré syndrome, which can momentarily paralyze and place you into a coma-like state. And then, of course, maybe an hour later, you come to. But they didn't have time for that. They were like, "Oh, Alexander's dead. Long live the king." Out. Out. Boom. They buried him. He was probably still alive.
Oh. And he's laying there and he's going, "Oh, great."
Remember we had a fact on about the bell inside the coffins, the coffin bell.
Oh, that's right. So yeah.
That if they were alive, they could ring it. Oh my God.
And that's, I think we also sang in that episode, "Ring my bell." Mm-hmm. No, we did.
I want to play with my ding-a-ling.
Thank you.
Okay.
Legend has it, King Umberto I of Italy and Queen Margherita of Savoy were visiting Naples around 1889. Naples, Italy, not Naples, Florida, which is near where Roy is residing. Luckily for pizza history, the queen became sick after eating rotten food, which is when she requested to dine on traditional Italian food. Technically, it was the first pizza delivery ever.
Cool.
The slogan was "Pizza in 30 minutes or the delivery boy gets killed."
The queen's a crappy tipper, too.
She was, yeah. So your pizza's delivered in 30 minutes or you're beheaded. A widespread belief says that in June 1989, the pizzeria maker Rafael Esposito invented a dish called Pizza Margherita in honor of the Queen of Italy, Margherita of Savoy. The colors of the Italian flag are red, white, and green. Tomato is red, mozzarella is white, and basil
is green.
Yeah. And basil's that's the green. Margherita pizza.
Yeah. That's pretty interesting, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. President, I love this one. President Zachary Taylor. Most people don't know who he is.
No.
But, you know, I mean, this is going to forever etch it in your mind. He died of a cherry overdose.
Oh.
Yes. It's called severe gastroenteritis. So he had severe gastroenteritis. He ate multiple pounds of cherries, washed them down with lots and lots of good old-fashioned milk. The combination of the two acids actually killed him. He went into a severe fit of gastroenteritis and died. What a tart. It's the pits.
It is. Yeah. Life is a bowl full. What's the expression? Life is a bowl full of cherries. What am I doing with the pits? Because you're listening to totally useless information with Nick.
You know what he could have used to cure that?
What's
some
that?
Stem cells.
Stem cells, yes. Wow. Oxford University is older than the Aztec Empire. An article written by the professor of the Smithsonian Institute confirms that the University of Oxford predates several things that believed to be ancient. The idea is that you can still study at the university that's older than some ancient nations. And it predates lots of
You do know my son went there for a semester.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah.
He studied English law at Oxford.
That's right. He's a very successful lawyer. So if you're down in the Florida area.
So if you
area,
try to sue us, we'll get you back.
We'll get you back. So it's older than the Aztec Empire by almost 300 years, in fact. And Oxford's first ever courses were taught as early as 1096 and 1249. The instructors, Adam and Eve. No, I just made that up. I think not whatsoever. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. If you'd like to get in touch with us, I know you do, but let me just tell them about how to reach us. Go to our website, www.nickandroy.com.
You mean all they have to do is go to nickandroy.com?
Right. Simple website for two simple guys.
And they go to nickandroy.com, and then what happens?
You go to nickandroy.com, and you can send us an email by clicking on Contact Us. You go to nickandroy.com, and you can download the latest episode. You can go to nickandroy.com, and you can binge listen to all of our full library of useless information, four-plus seasons.
We will answer you back. We guarantee it.
Yeah, we answer you back. Remember, we're married. We always answer back.
Yeah, exactly. And you won't like what we say, but that's okay too. During the Victorian period, it was very common when your relatives passed away, because photography was very expensive and they didn't want to waste that money on it. They waited for you to die. They dressed you up in your best that you had, or borrowed clothing from others that if you didn't have good clothing.
Yeah.
They dressed you all up dead and then posed you in chairs, propped you up with sticks and made you look like you were leaning on the house or whatever, and took a couple of pictures so that they would have memories of you. Meantime, they probably sewed your eyes open so that you looked like you were.
Wow. Unless, of course, you're Alexander the Great. And they go, no, I'm still alive.
God. Oh, my God. Why would anybody want to do that?
I don't know.
Poor dead people alone.
Oh, my goodness. Boy, there's a stiff drink. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy.
And now for something completely useless.
So earlier on the show, I talked to you about how you can play with yourself by playing solitaire. Mm. Poker can be played with only two players. It's called Heads Up. It's the name of the poker game where you only play with two players. Because you're thinking a poker game, you need at least three or four. But no, you can play with as little as two players, and it's called Heads Up.
Oh, well, at least now we have two people involved. Before, it was getting a little boring with the single action.
Yeah, and if you play your cards right, literally, then if you play your cards right, you could be single player once again.
Gee, I lost again. Now I'm down to my underwear. That's another game.
I gotta find out where strip poker came from. That'll be interesting in a future show. As you're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy, as we mentioned, send us an email simply going to nickandroy.com.
What's in the mail, babe? What's in the mail?
This one I thought was just really great. And we do. We read every piece of mail, and we also do answer back everyone. We make it a habit of doing that. So if you go to nickandroy.com, you leave us an email, and we'll get back to you. But Bernice from Macon, Georgia, Bernice asks, do you and Nick She writes, thank you so much. She loves the show. She listens every week. She's heard every episode.
Nice.
And she wants to thank us because she says, you have made me a smarter person. And I said, well, that's cool. And then she says, do you and Nick remember most of the information from the shows? And do you feel that it's made you smarter because it clearly has made me a smarter person? I honestly have to say that this show has made me, maybe, I don't know if I want to use the word smarter, but it certainly has made me a more interesting person because I have all kinds of crazy things to tell people that come off of this show and they absolutely love it and tell other people. So yes, I think it has made me smarter. What about you, Nick?
Well, the only thing that this show has done is I didn't realize that I don't remember much of the information we've been doing now for 70 plus episodes. The only fact that I do remember is that the attention span of a goldfish is 2 seconds.
No, the truth. You really remember a lot of it.
We do. And it's not because I'm looking for information specifically. So what will happen is I'll have a conversation with one of my coworkers at a radio station that I work at here in Toronto. And then we'll be talking about something. And then I would say, by the way, did you know that the housefly hums in the key of
the
F?
Key of F, right. Key of F. I knew that, and that wasn't even one of mine.
Yeah, exactly.
It's amazing. Bernice.
Thank you.
That was a really, really great question. Thank you so much. And thank you, yes. And yes, we consider it the TUI University, the Totally Useless Information University. You're going to school.
That's right. You've been schooled. Go to nickandroy.com and send us your email.
What's in the mail?
Nick and Roy will continue with Totally Useless Information. To access the full library of episodes, visit nickandroy.com. That's nickandroy.com. We're back with Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Play ball.
Wow. We play a lot of organs on this show.
Ken Griffey Jr. Mm-hmm. Ken Griffey Jr. hit 630 home runs. Hit 600. That's me.
Yeah.
Hit 630 home runs and was, of course, an amazing baseball player. He was so amazing that they named a chocolate bar after him, Jr. One problem, Ken Griffey Jr. was allergic to chocolate.
Oh, no.
Yes.
So he couldn't even try out his own chocolate bar.
And he had to promote it, too, and make believe he was eating it. Oh, my gosh. That's terrible.
Horrible. My goodness. They are delicious, absolutely delicious chocolate bars. Two of the best offenses in the NBA during the 1983-84 season produced one of the wildest games in NBA history. It was December 13th, 1983. The Detroit Pistons won the historic game in triple overtime, 186-184, which is quite a high-scoring game for basketball.
Wow.
Isaiah Thomas led the way for Detroit with 47 points. For the Denver Nuggets, the opponent, Kiki Vandeweghe, scored a game-high 51 points and lost the game.
This guy can't get it right. He scored 51 points.
Right, and he still lost the game. And despite the historic score, so, you know, with basketball, there's that three-point line, and if you shoot the ball from beyond that arc, then you get 3 points.
Yes.
Each team finished with just 1-for-2 from the three-point range.
Oh, my God. So that didn't even increase the amount of baskets.
That's right, because all the others were, 2 points or 1 point, depending on the free throws. But, yeah, so December 13th, 1983.
Wow. I don't like round ball. I like football.
Pigskin.
Yes. Well, round ball is baseball, basketball. Yeah. Football's an oblong, weird shape ball. Steve Young, the amazing NFL quarterback. He was fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
He played college football, of course, at Brigham Young University. And for a good reason. He was going to decide. He was going to go to North Carolina. They were wooing him like crazy. But he said, no, I'm sorry, I can't. I have to go to Brigham Young. Because my great-grandfather was Brigham Young. How amazing. His grandfather, Steve Young's great-grandfather was the Brigham Young.
How old was Brigham Young?
I don't know, but he was not Brigham old. He was Brigham,
Brigham
Young.
Brigham Young, yes. Roger Federer is the Swiss professional tennis player. What a great player, huh? Roger Federer still is.
One of my favorites.
He was ranked number 6 in the world by the Association of Tennis Professionals. He won over 20 Grand Slam men's single titles, an all-time record shared with Rafael Nadal. Mm-hmm. But here's an interesting fact.
I met, by the way, Rafael Nadal.
How was he?
I met Rafael Nadal at his first professional game in Miami, Florida, with my son, who was very young. It was the first professional tennis match he ever attended. And at the end of the match, he had won the match. And at the end of the match, he spoke no English. And he was so excited that we were one of his first autographs. And he didn't know what to do because he had never given an autograph before.
Oh, wow.
Really cool. And we have it till this day.
Wonderful. By the way, you can type the word Federer entirely with your left hand.
Oh, it's all on one side?
F-E-D-E-R-E-R.
Oh, wow.
There you go.
Cool.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really not much sport, but okay.
Well, it's
just snuck that in there.
Well, I did because I should have said it this way. Okay, sorry. Speaking of Federer, did you know that you can type the entire word with your left hand?
All right. In July of 1934, Babe Ruth hit his famous 700th home run. It's gone. It's out of the park. And one of the fans caught it.
Yeah.
Well, Babe was so excited that he hit his 700th home run that he ran over to the guy and said, I'll give you $20 to give me back that baseball. And the guy gladly gave him back the baseball and took the $20. That man's grandson would have been able to sell that ball for tens of thousands of dollars today.
Yikes.
When interviewed, the grandson of that man said, what a jerk my grandfather was.
And he wasn't even Brigham Young. Ah, the good old Babe.
Imagine Babe Ruth said, I'll give you $20, give me the ball back. And the guy said, sure. Oh, no, what a stupid mistake. My God, did he get hit with the ball on the head?
I think so. That would be the only explanation.
Stupid.
Sir Arthur Conan Doyle, the creator of Sherlock Holmes, played goalie for the Amateur Portsmouth Association Football Club. Now, not the NFL football club, but soccer, because in Europe they call soccer football.
And being that in the NFL, there's no goalies, but go ahead.
Yeah. We have goal posts, but no goalies. Okay. Which eventually became the Portsmouth professional team that won the cup in 2008. Why he didn't pursue a professional soccer career remains a mystery. Sir Arthur Conan Doyle.
It's probably why he started writing Sherlock.
Exactly.
Michael Jordan.
Yes.
One of the, if not the most famous basketball player of all times.
Yes.
Wore what number, Nick?
Number 23.
Yes. Very good, by the way.
Well, do I
number
win,
23.
Do I win a Michael Jordan jersey or something? What do I win?
Well, his number is retired, of course. And the greatest of all time. His shoes said 23. Everything said 23.
Right.
Well, he was on a road trip to play the Orlando Magic in Orlando, Florida. And some lunatic, minutes before the game, breaks into the visitors' locker room and steals all of Michael Jordan's clothes and jersey. Michael Jordan has to go out and play because it's a big game. And so one of the other players that wasn't playing lent him his jersey. And for one game, Michael Jordan wore the number 12.
Wow. Did they ever catch the person who or persons who stole his stuff?
He probably had Jordan's sneakers on and was able to run fast.
Yes. My guess would be that they did get caught, got arrested, and spent 23 years in jail.
Do anything. Yes. That guy's the type of guy to take a shirt off his back.
Yes. That's right. It's a field goal. Where did they go? There have been three Olympic Games over the many hundreds of thousands of years that the Olympic Games have been held. Three Olympic Games were held in countries that no longer exist today. Okay? The countries that have hosted the Olympics that are no longer exist are German Reich, 1936.
Okay, that's not fair, but go ahead.
Okay, Summer Olympics. Yes. USSR in 1980, right. Winter Olympics, right. And Yugoslavia in 1984.
So Yugoslavia is the only one that really doesn't exist at all.
Right.
Because Russia is USSR and Germany is Germany.
But they were known as USSR. So the country known as USSR. Maybe that's how
Where did they have those games? Und Liechtenstein! Und Heidi Klum carries my torch!
Yeah. Oh, he's too hot to handle. Like this show, because you're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy.
Your totally useless GPS. It's time for geography. So get lost with Nick and Roy.
Yeah, you can just get the images out of your heads, guys and gals. Yeah, just get that image out of your head, okay? It's too hot to handle. Speaking of hands off, over the many years, Canada and Denmark have been playfully fighting for control of a tiny island near Greenland.
I know this one. This is cool, folks. Listen,
it's called Hans Island.
And they leave something, right? But go ahead.
Every once in a while, when officials from each country visit, they leave a bottle of their country's liqueur. Absolutely 100%. Now, it may sound surprising to you, the audience. So just so that you know, Roy and I do not discuss the facts that we're going to bring to the show every week. All we say is we're going to do the following topics, like today was history and sports, geography, and so on. We only discuss the topics. We do not tell each other what the facts are. So the fact that Roy knew this is not because he knew what I was going to say, because he never knows what I'm going to say.
Nick and Roy will continue with totally useless information. You're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Listen, laugh, and learn.
Saudi Arabia is the only country that has not one river. Not one.
Oh.
Every other country in the world has at least one river that runs in it or through it. But Saudi Arabia has none. Just goes to prove all the oil in the world and not a drop of water.
Very good. It's like,
fill my car up, okay, and I'll give you a bottle of water.
What's this? Right. They'll say, cry me a river. I can't. We don't have any.
I could say, though, that Saudi Arabia has a gas problem.
Yes. Well, there's no gas shortage in our households, that's for sure. The state of Alaska is 429 times larger than the state of Rhode Island. But Rhode Island has a significantly larger population than Alaska. Alaska has a longer coastline than all of the other 49 states put together. And yet, Rhode Island has a larger population than Alaska.
Cool. And because we don't tell each other, I'm going to do this one.
Okay.
The largest city in the U.S., New York City, right?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, forget about it.
New York City is not. It's Sitka, Alaska. That's the largest landmass, by the way.
Okay.
It's the largest landmass of any U.S. city, 2,800 square miles, opposed to New York, which is only 302 square miles, New York City. So you can imagine how much bigger it is. It only has 10,000 people, though. Okay, so yeah. It's got nobody living there. It makes Canada look very congested. Then coming in a close second is Wrangell, Alaska, 2,500 square miles and only 2,300 residents. So there's 1,000 square miles for each resident that lives there.
Here, take this. This is for you. There you go.
Wow. That is a lot of territory for a little amount of people.
So. It is. So we all know the iconic Colosseum in Rome, in Italy. Italy's culture ministry.
It was named Is that what you're going to say? What
it was named? No, not at all.
Do you know the Colosseum was named for a statue called Colossus?
I know that now.
Okay, go ahead.
There you go. More useless information on Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Italy's culture ministry has launched 18.5 million euros to rebuild the arena floor in the Colosseum, rendering the way it was until being fully exposed about a century ago. It will allow visitors to enjoy views from the amphitheater center and to host high-level cultural events.
In the
days of Imperial Rome.
Imagine having a party in there. I mean, wow.
Yeah. So you're having a party at the Colosseum. You mean like the movie theater? No, the Colosseum.
Colosseum.
That's right.
And then just for fun, the lions come out and eat everybody.
Yeah. That's great. Now, in the days of Imperial Rome that Roy's referring to, the sand-covered wooden arena floor was built over the network of tunnels and cells where animals and gladiators were caged before the contests began. So they're going to redo the Italian Colosseum, check it out in a few years' time.
They also believe, I think, that there was canals built in there that so they could flood and put boats in there, too. So they could actually have like gondolas going around while they. This is crazy,
yeah,
right?
The world's first multi-purpose arena.
The Italians were pretty wild.
They were, yeah.
We said on a previous show that the Archipelagos Islands of the Philippines. You try saying that 10 times. Archipelagos Islands.
How about saying it once slow?
Yeah, the Archipelagos Islands of the Philippines had 7,107 islands total. But scientists have used satellite imagery to recount the islands, and they now, lo and behold, found out there's 7,641.
What?
For a total of 534 more islands were found using satellite imagery. So we have pictures recently from the surface of Mars. But these idiots can't count how many islands by 500 they were off on the Earth. I mean, can you give me a break? So wait a second. So we're looking at pictures sent by a satellite from Mars.
Right.
And we can't count the islands unless we use a satellite that's flying probably by Mars to count the islands.
Right.
Okay. Very confusing.
It is. You can count on them not knowing what the hell's going on. So what is that German town you often quote on the show?
And they all go to Liechtenstein.
Liechtenstein and Switzerland are very similar.
Oh, yes, they are.
They share a currency, a language.
Und Sauerbraten.
An American ambassador, a television network.
Und Heidi Klum. Und the noise that you just had.
Yes, it was a bright idea.
Once they share a Heidi Klum.
No, they don't share Heidi Klum. They share an American ambassador, a television network, a telephone system, and a military. Also, 13,900 of their 32,000 workers commute daily from Switzerland, Germany, or Austria. Only 18,500 Liechtenstein laborers are actual Liechtensteiners.
What?
So of
where are they from? Why don't they have some purpose?
Switzerland, Germany, or Austria. That's where they're coming from.
Liechtenstein. Istanbul is the only major city, get ready,
yes,
that rests on two separate continents.
What?
Yes.
Can't make up
it rests
mind.
On both the European and the Asian continent. So it literally, Istanbul is on two separate continents. It's the only major city. It has 14 million people, which shocked me. I didn't think so. It's more than 2,000 years old. It was around during the Roman, Byzantine, and Ottoman empires. Amazing. Istanbul, two separate continents. Bernice, there's one for you.
There you go, Bernice. Thank you, Bernice. And the Ottoman Empire, is that when they had their feet up the whole time?
Oh, sure. Yes. A big comfy chair in an ottoman.
There you go. So you're listening to Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Today we covered geography, sports, a little bit of history, and inventions. It's time for the news.
And now, from around the corner and around the world, this STUI News.
A massive pileup on an icy highway northeast of Montreal yielded an impromptu game of hockey. A group of people involved in a massive pileup on Highway 40 near Quebec, about 45 kilometers northeast of Montreal. They waited for emergency crews to reopen the road, and guess what? A hockey game broke out. Of course, it's in Canada. Several people, unfortunately, suffered minor injuries as a result of the accident, which caused the highway to be closed for several hours. Between 40 and 50 cars were involved in the enormous collision. No word yet on the ailments sustained during the intense game of hockey, though, but they pulled a shinny. And that's all the time we have for this week's Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy. Thank you for listening. We'll scour the internet far and wide to get more useless information for you guys.
Tell a friend about the trend and go to www.nickandroy.com and leave us a message.
I'm Nick.
And I'm Roy.
Totally Useless Information with Nick and Roy is a production of nickandroy.com. Visit nickandroy.com to access the full library of episodes or wherever you get your podcasts.